Well, good morning. Here we are. So God blesses Jacob. So last week we spoke about Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. Yeah. Wasn't it last week? We did Jacob and Esau. Well, anyhow, Isaac's blessing of Jacob showed Jacob was the heir to the might as well start all over. Turn this off and erase it, and we'll start over again. All right. Jacob was the heir to the covenant promise that God made to Abraham. So we went through all of that last week with Jacob being the one to be blessed by his father, even though he did it by trickery. Well, because Jacob obtained the blessing through this trickery, he was forced to flee his father's home and head to the land of his mother's brother or uncle, Laban. And so during the first night as a fugitive, as he's fleeing from his home, Jacob came to a deserted place and fell asleep. There God appeared to him in a dream and gave him a promise for the future. So that'd be quite an experience. You're running for your life and fleeing for your life, and you come across, you know, your first night out, God comes and visits you and says, you know, I'm going to give you a promise. Whoa, that sounds pretty good. And so God appeared to him in a dream, and God promised to bless Jacob with land, with innumerable descendants, and bless all the families of the earth through him and his descendants. The similarities between the promise given to Jacob is similar to the promise that was given to Abraham. However, the promise to Jacob extended beyond the promise given to Abraham. There are four significant elements that God gave to Jacob. One, his divine presence would accompany Jacob wherever he went. Now, sometimes we say, okay, what does this have to do with us? What does this, you know, here we have Jacob and the promise to Israel. So we see the fundamental promises given by God for Jacob and for his descendants. But in the New Testament, in the revelation that comes to us through Jesus Christ, we find that with the Holy Spirit being in our life, God is always present with us. The divine presence would accompany Jacob wherever he went. Where shall we go from your presence? You know, David says this, should we, you know, if we take the wings of the morning and go to the uttermost parts of the earth. So if we can travel at the speed of light, we cannot get to the other spot quicker than God can be there. So it isn't like he's flashing over there, he's already there. So, second, he would keep Jacob from danger. You know, whenever we are safe in the hands of our father. He would return Jacob to his own land. So this was a promise that here he is fleeing for his life, and his brother Esau has promised to kill him. And so he's running off to his mother's family, Laban. And but God promises him, and the first night he's off on his journey, that God is going to bring him back and that he would fulfill the promises given to him. God was going to do this. So after living 2 decades in exile, in his uncle's home, God told Jacob to return. All right, so the return plan, the return flight, the return journey of Jacob to his father's land, to the land that God had promised him, we find that God tells him, to your father's land and to your kindred, and I will be with you. So that's a good promise. You know, he's been away 20 years, but he still remembers what his brother felt like whenever he left. He had deceived his brother, and so he thought he was going to be killed. So God's directive should remind us of his earthly promise to bring Jacob back to his family land. Jacob's homecoming, therefore, would be a fulfillment of a divine promise. So move on. So on his journey home, Jacob must face his estranged brother. Two divine encounters precede Jacob's meeting with Esau. One, in the first encounter, the angel of God met him as he traveled from his uncle Laban. The meeting with God's angel was abrupt, unexpected, and surprised. Affected by his divine experience, Jacob named the place Mahanaim. How about that one? Mahanaim. I'm proud of myself. How do you pronounce? And I got that on the internet. Mahanaim. That I wrote that out phonetically so I could say it. So anyhow, he named the place Mahanaim, meaning two camps. Why can't you just say it's two camps? No. But so it's interesting. God, the first night on his journey away, God tells him he's going to be with him. And then when it's time for him to return, God tells him, okay, it's time for you to go back. It's 20 years, about 20 years since he left home. So he heads out and God meets him again on his way home. The narrative description of this divine meeting is brief. Jacob was traveling from his uncle Laban. The angels were divine defenders who would guarantee Jacob's safe return to his homeland. So, all along, he's afraid his brother's going to kill him. he's going to fight against him and fulfill what he had promised whenever he left and basically tricked his father into giving him a blessing. But the technical part is, Esau gave it away. he sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge. So, a bowl of stew. So he sold his birthright. Technically, he was the elder, but on a technicality, he lost it. Now, I want you to remember that on a technicality. Because I'm going to talk about that in church today, about technicalities, little technical things that go on. All right. Second, the divine encounter occurred when Jacob wrestled with a male figure, whom later that Jacob identified as God. So he wrestles with God on this return journey. And so there's a lot of things happening for Jacob as he's returning to his homeland. God has not forgotten the promise. But in one sense, in my thinking, Jacob goes away to a far place to earn his wealth, have his wives and his children, and then he returns with great wealth and his family and everything to the homeland. So it's kind of like the children of Israel later on when Joseph goes to Egypt. And the family goes to Egypt, and they stay in Egypt for 400 years and come out a nation. So it was like the quickest way to build the wealth and the quickest way to build a nation is place them in captivity. Well, he was in captivity with his Laban because Laban tricked him. 7 years, you can have the woman you want. Oops, sorry, got to marry the oldest one first. 7 more years. Anyhow. The father's blessing while he had secured his father's blessing through thievery, the wrestling match had shown Jacob that only God could bestow the blessings. That's the part. Even though Jacob had blessed him, God is the only one who bestows blessings. And so Jacob has learned this from his time away and the trickery of Laban and his own trickery to obtain wealth. And in reality, though, he realizes that God is the only one who can bestow blessings. So to prepare for his meeting with Esau, Jacob sent extravagant gifts of livestock to gain favor with his brother. Then he carefully planned the order in which his family would meet Esau. This is where the commentary is, according to another commentary, skewed. Now, in the in this commentary, Jacob is thought to send his He sends the servants with lots of gifts of his livestock to his brother Esau, kind of as a peace offering. But then we find that in this commentary, Jacob is up on the Peniel. I think it's Peniel. Yeah, Peniel. He's up on Peniel, and he sends his family, to all of his family, out as a buffer to Esau, and he stays behind. But according to this, do we have it, Terry? Oh, okay. Well, I need to get my little... go ahead, start the audio, and I'll do the visual on the board when I get it out here. This is an expedition Bible, and what the commentary, what he does here is, he shows the rivers, where the Jabbok River, and how that it flows from one area, the north, to the south, and how that it goes around this Peniel, and Peniel, and it goes around and out, and the road is coming from the north. It's on the right, and Jacob is looking at it, the road is on the right hand side, and so Esau is coming down the right hand side of this road, and what Jacob does is he has his family at the bottom of this mountain, and he makes them go right across the river and hides them, or they're protected by the river, and Esau himself is left to face his brother. In the commentary, it is saying that Jacob sent his family out there as a buffer, and it doesn't seem right. Go ahead, see if we can hear that, and you can get the picture. Anyhow, all those things, they are up on top of this, it's a high mountain, and it's kind of flat, and this is where Jacob would have wrestled with God. And so when it talks about him sending his family, he sends his family down and across the Jabbok River. The Jabbok River goes around Peniel and comes out, and the road comes down, and now you can't put another road in there, because it's steep banks of the mountain. So you have the steep banks of the mountain, and you have the river, and you have the road. It couldn't have been anyplace else. So the modern day road is the same road that went from this tell, this city up here, down through the valley and right to Peniel. Now, Peniel saw the face of God. So what happens is Jacob is up here watching for his brother to come. So he's not in hiding, and he did send animals and, you know, as a gift to his brother, but he doesn't send his family out there so that Esau can kill them. He sends them down, and it grows across the ford of the river and goes back into here, which is a place of safety, and this goes out into the plains above the Dead Sea. So you have this river coming through there. So, but I thought it was interesting because you have this Peniel, right, so when you look at it on the map, it's a high mountain, and on the top of this mountain, there are altars and an ancient church and an ancient synagogue. I think this is a place where at the top here, they have heart-shaped stones. And in the synagogues, you had, at the ancient times, you had heart-shaped, you had these heart-shaped, that's the wrong way. Can't draw it, but reverse. So, you had these heart-shaped corners on all four corners. And so that synagogue is up here, and it was a place to honor where Jacob wrestled with God, where his name was changed to Israel, and he is there, he's there at the top of this mountain, wrestles with God in the morning, and then after he's received the blessing of God, and one of the other thing that goes on is he wrestles with God, and he wrestles with a man, But you would think that the man he's wrestling with says, "Let me go." But the man he's wrestling with is greater than Jacob, because Jacob wants his blessing. So he's kind of like in the struggle that he wants this blessing, but he's still trying to free himself. So there's this conflict going on between he and the angel. And one of the things maybe is what is transitioned is that Jacob is finally coming to grips with his treachery and with the things that he's done in his past. And he has to face his treachery now by facing his brother. And this is where God changes his name to Israel and gives him the promise that you will be the father of many nations and so on. But I was hoping to be able to see that on the board, because it's just different to actually see the land that's there today and how that the structures are there, the foundation of these structures are there, and the stones of these structures are there, and they depict for us how that in ancient times this was considered the place for Peniel. And as he said, there's only two places it could be. There's this one tell up to the north, and then Peniel is the other place, and it's been leveled off. It's not leveled off like a landing strip, but it's been leveled off for occupation. So anyhow, so that's how we find that Jacob was left alone, wrestled with the man until the breaking of the day, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So he had to go get physical therapy. So he never did get physical therapy, and he walked the rest of his life with a limp. How about that? There we are. So it is north of the Dead Sea, to the right, and it's through that valley, and the Peniel, there's a kind of where that Jacob wrestled with God line comes down. There's another city there. And Peniel is also called Uz, I believe. But it's quite interesting to be able to see it and to hear. Is there much more of that video? Okay. Yeah, well, that's all right. It's too long. So whenever he says in verse 27, he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." So this is like God telling to us, you know, Bible says, you know, the scriptures in the New Testament, all things are possible to him who believes, okay? That all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. These are promises that God gives to us and is initiated by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God brought into our lives. Well, here, there's no written record. There's no writing of this. These promises, these are promises given directly by God to Jacob, to him to change his name, just like Abram was changed to Abraham. You know, then Sarah was changed to Sarai. Jacob is now changed to Israel. So the encounter with God is that there's a change. We are to have a change of heart, a change of nature, a change of spirit, the Holy Spirit, overcoming the human nature, we have the divine nature. So always this change, and if there is And in the New Testament now, if there is not an encounter with God that changes us, we did not have an encounter with God. The encounter with God is confession of your sins and forgiveness of sins. So there has to be a change. And so the change then brings about how that God is going to work in our life and how that God is going to make us different. Well, in the same token, this is what happens with Jacob. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. Well, I think in this video, it talks about Hosea. I believe it's Hosea. And how that Hosea finishes this statement. Hosea talks about how that God met Jacob and changed his name. And the scriptures in the book of Hosea. And so it's like what is stated here is fulfilled, is spoken of in more depth someplace else. And again, it's through the prophet that these things are written. So we know that through the other text in scripture that God is the author of this. God inspired Moses to write this. And another thing is that when in secular churches that in secular theology, I didn't understand this either. You know, we've always been taught the Bible's the Word of God, it's the authoritative Word of God, it is true, it is written, you know, holy men of God were inspired by God to write it. But what happened is in the era, the last 50 years, 70 years, whatever, the churches and their theologians have come to the conclusion Moses didn't write this. They were teaching that Moses didn't write it. There wasn't even a written language at the time. And there was no language that was written at the time that this was written by Moses. There was no Hebraic alphabet. Well, now, all these professors, you know, so that you look at our the churches, and they're going away from the fundamental principles of the scripture, because the pastors and the denominations have been taught that the people who that the Bible says wrote this, they prove in their theories that Moses didn't write it. There wasn't even an alphabet, any a Hebraic alphabet at the time of Moses. And that's they found now in their diggings that they have found this piece of lead, you know, and the Mount of Blessing and Cursing. They found in the altar this little tablet that has the ancient Hebraic symbols on it that speak of God. There was 18 characters on it that is not similar to Egyptian, but it is a Hebrew flavor of it, and it is the beginning of the Hebrew alphabet, and this is what Moses would have written. So he would have written this, and so now they're proving there was an alphabet, and there was writing in place, and Moses was not illiterate, and he put the God inspired him, and he wrote these things down. So you can see why churches and pastors of other churches that don't believe that the Bible is the authoritative Word of God, they can't believe it, because they have been taught that Moses didn't write it. This history, he probably didn't even exist. It's like, you got to be kidding me. It's in the Bible. You know, we'd say, it's in the Bible, it's true. You know, well, archaeology, I always said, if archaeology doesn't prove that the Bible correct, they haven't dug enough. They haven't come up with the right ideas. So, aren't you excited about this? That's all it counts. Teacher's excited. So what else? So Jacob asked, and so Jacob is blessed by this angel. Again, it's a theophany. It's the appearance of Jesus Christ. And Christ, he wrestles with Jesus, as it were. And he is blessed by God. And God has put a blessing on him and his family and his descendants. Peniel. Peniel. Well, it's called a Peniel. So Jacob demands a blessing and God blesses him. Jacob demands a blessing and God blesses him. By faith. Is faith demanding God? You know, and it isn't like we're demanding, I want a billion bucks, God. No, it's not that kind of demand. But that God would provide for us. He's promised to always be our provision, our healer, our sustainer, our strength. So faith is basically bringing these demands, these promises to God and believing that he will fulfill them. Because the greater will bless the lesser. Jacob returns. Chapter 35, verse 1. And Jacob, and God said to Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. So what is the strange gods? Well, remember Rachel. I believe it's Rachel. The names run and go in my head. But anyhow, Rachel stole the gods of Laban and took them with her, and Laban chased them down because they, you know, Jacob left without saying goodbye. He just took all of his goods and left because he didn't want to enter another agreement with his father-in-law, and so he left. But he wanted, even when that was subsided, that he would let Jacob go, he wanted his gods back. Well, Rachel had him hid. So now, this story continues, Jacob said unto his household, you know, you got to clean the house, get rid of all those gods. So Rachel had to get rid of all the foreign gods of her father. And so put away the strange gods from that are among you and be clean and change your garments. So whenever we look at this in our own life, we say, well, we confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Okay, what are we doing? We're changing our heart. Well, they didn't know how to do that. So change your garments. Clean your house out of idols and change your garments. You're entering into a new relationship with God. You're entering into a place of promise. And let us arise, verse 3, let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. So he's, in my distress, I was on the mountain, and God met me, and God gave me promises, and he was there with me in the way that I went. How about God will direct our paths? God has a plan for us, a path for us, our will for our life, a course that we are to follow. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings. Ladies, don't wear earrings. If they're gold, give them to the church. We'll cash them in. just kidding. You know, just a little humor there, very little. Earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was at Shechem. Do you know there is an oak tree at Shechem that has, they have put this, these bars, these 4x4s or 6x6, metal tubed bars and connected them around the oak tree at Shechem. Now, I don't know if it's the same one, but it may be. It's an extremely old tree. So, I mean, anyhow, that's there. So we go on. Building the altar is an act of worship to God who answers me in the day of my distress. Building an altar, taking, you know, what would we do? Give thanks unto God. That's our kind of like our altar, that we give God the sacrifice of praise. We have our altar before God, and we thank him for what he has done, what he is doing in our life. So, to God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone, build an altar. What is your altar? It's a place where you give thanks to God. You give thanks because God is with you. That he was with you when the difficulty was there. He is with you now. He's with you when the difficulty is gone. So no matter where you go, God is with you. And you know, I don't know enough about it, but God gives us a new name. A new name is written down in glory. Okay, we sing that song years ago. Well, a new name written down in glory, that and it's mine. So we would say, okay, my name, David, is written down in God's name in glory. What is the name God gives you? See, what would God call you? And it would be like he knows you, that we have his name written in our hearts. Thy name, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. That we have this word of God hidden and it's written in our heart. So God doesn't go, hey, you, David. Well, how many Davids are there in the world? You know, God, if God can know and name all the planets and the stars and the sky and knows the hairs of our head, he can have each of us as a specific name, not saying that there is one. All right, Jacob builds an altar, chapter 35, verse 5. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were around them, and they did not pursue after sons of Jacob. Don't be afraid of people. God will protect you. God's presence went before him. No one would come against him. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Cana, that is Bethel, and he and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place of El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him, and when he fled from the face of his brother, but Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called a what? Oak of Weeping. But anyhow, Luz is Peniel, and there was in Luz a city built on top of that that was at Peniel for a period of time. So, and God appeared unto Jacob again, and when he came out to Paddan Aram, and blessed him, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel. God wasn't mistaken. I know who you are, I know your name, Jacob is supplanter, but I have changed your character. You see, God knows our character, and he changes it. So David who used to be isn't the David who is. Jacob who used to be isn't the Jacob who is. He is now Israel. God names him Prince with God. So shall name be called Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, the fruitful and multiply. The nation and company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. What a blessing. what a promise. This is coming to you. He says, he appeared unto him, the verb forgive appears three times in verse 12, which emphasizes the promise of the land is God's gift to the people of Israel. The promise of the land is God's gift to Israel, Jacob, and his descendants. What is the promise of Scripture that God has given to his followers? See, God honors that promise. He honors it in our life. And finally, and God went up from him into the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon. And when he had poured the oil thereon, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke to him, Bethel. The house of God. So, and it's interesting to be able to see and hear and recognize like these locations and these places, how that God has, it's like the one guy said, if you want to know where something's at in Israel, look at the Bible. God gives you specific direction as to where it's at. And this Peniel is, there's specific direction for the Jabbok River, which is in Luz. Those are the cities, they're still there. Now there's nothing here. It's just a barren piece of land. But in another situation, we'll let that go for another day. So, but that's how God works, and he brings and gives us a new name, new blessing, and helps us out, even as those walk in the door and yeah, sit down while I pray. Oh, Father, we are indeed grateful for the blessings that you give to us and how that your word honors you, and we want to honor your word. We ask you to continue to make it real, continue to bless us and allow the blessing that you promised. Lord, may we see it fulfilled in our life. May we believe and receive in Jesus' name. Amen.